HMD, November 18th, 2015.
Will it just burn out? I got so tired of seeing really gifty things like hundreds of eagles and horses, you know, me grazing in the pond next to me.
Mr. Porter, pen.
Yeah, I really get tired of looking at it. I got a picture of my daughter getting chased out of the ditch in front of the house by a cow moose one time. So,
right, that's scary.
Yeah. And then my older daughter and her friend ran into a bear one day. They were walking up on the skid road down the back. This is a classic.
You're in charge.
You run through the road for a key. They walk along and they look up, and here comes this bear coming down the road. They go, and they turn and run over, and the bear goes, and turns around.
When's your last day?
On paper, the 31st of December.
Oh, December, okay.
Yeah, but I'm going to have to be, I guess, supposed to be on leave elk hunting next week, and then Fish Culture Conference the first week in December, and then I got about 270 hours of leave.
So yeah, so you're pretty much out of here, month of December, huh?
Other than trying to work stuff out, I'm trying to hire a manager down at Elk River right now.
Okay.
So that's probably my last active official duty.
Wow.
So are you officially retiring, or are you going to work in Idaho? Or
no, I'm out of here.
Done, okay.
When are you done?
December.
It's a one bad day sort of situation, okay? One bad day.
Oh, you're
allowed to
drive?
Better. I was working in Cornwall this week for my drunken truck driver, and they postponed the court date again.
Wow.
January.
Wow.
I'm going to have to come back.
Oh, man.
Wow.
All right, let's get started. Who do we have on the phone?
This is Greg up at Marion Forks, Minto.
Hi, Greg.
Dan at Willamette. Rick at Leeburg Hatchery.
Anyone else? Probably us, maybe. All right, the first item is the October minutes. I don't know if you received any comments, Carrie, or they were incorporated. Okay. Anyone have any additional comments for the minutes from last month? Okay, then we can move on from that onto action items.
Can I interject one?
Sure.
Just for folks on the phone, I mean, there's not very many, but sometimes there are. If you mention your name before you make a comment, it'll make it into the notes accurately.
Yes, I would appreciate that.
And then also, I haven't been here the last couple months.
We've so missed you.
If I miss anything in terms of not providing enough background, fill in the blanks for me if you could, that'd be awesome. So the first item was we're going to look at putting together a team to look at how we quite possibly could manage flows in the Willamette for temperature. I'm going to get some folks together on our end with the Corps, and I'm going to set something up externally with other folks sometime in December. And it says on the agenda that Tom, which isn't here, was going to provide a point of contact or set something up on that in terms of...
No, I thought I was supposed to talk to Tom, which I did, discussed it and told him that you were going to contact him as taking the lead on putting the work group together.
Okay.
Is that right?
So contact Tom?
Yeah, contact Tom.
Okay.
He might be calling in soon.
Okay. Next item was for Andy, who's not here, and he didn't brief me on whether or not he did that.
What was it?
It was following up with McLaughlin on when they were going to refer that roll gate at Leeburg for next season to optimize kind of what we think we might want or what would be beneficial for us.
I have no idea if you contacted her.
And then, Greg, you were going to contact Darren in regards to permitting for those wares that we need to do some work on.
I talked to Darren last week. Penny Keene will be our contact with the Forest Service. She is the special use program coordinator for them up in Detroit. And basically what she needs is kind of an outline plan of what we want or need. So some sort of scope of, you know, if there's concrete involved or piping or whatever, she just needs kind of a plan to look at so she can go back to the district.
What was her last name again?
Keen, K-E-E-N, first name Penny.
Okay.
And she's the one that we go through for the hatchery stuff, any of the special use.
So when I talked to Darren about the Horn Creek weir, which we put in place, he said that's fine for this year, but next year he wants a fully engaged permit for that. So I'm happy to take over what's required to get a good weir in on Horn Creek, but Marion Creek is, I think we came to the conclusion that the best design involves some kind of sill or poured concrete along the bottom to attach a weir panels to. That would be you, Greg? Is that possible?
I'm assuming we'll have to go through our engineering before we...
Oh, yeah.
And then funding, of course. So. Okay.
So how do we start something like that? The real steps, concrete steps. Get it? Get it?
We need to find money.
We've got the money. We'll get the money.
And so we've got a design.
So engineering?
I assume probably the Screams and Passage guys.
I imagine.
Are probably the ones that do that, but yeah, our engineering folks. Or Screams and Battle, I guess they don't work for each other anymore. But so, you know, Ken or Greg, somebody over there, come up with a quickie design on how to, probably not unlike what they're putting in up at, it's on the Lost Team. Where they just put the weir in up in Northeast?
Somewhere in the Minnehaha, I thought, but somewhere up there, yeah.
But they put the big sill in. And
sure.
It's the whole professional thing. You can put one in that can come, you know, you take it out, but you got to have that foundation piece laid through the stream beds.
So, like, less than 10K or something? Or are we talking big money?
Well, I think we're talking big money.
Okay.
I think we'll talk big money, because you're going to have to probably divert water and, you know, put it in two pieces.
Well, it's not that big a stream. During the work window, which would be March, and I think I've seen similar kinds of things done where they just install a cofferdam to dry up one half of the stream bed and then pour the concrete and then do it on the other half, and so you don't divert water. You know, damn the river.
Is this Marion Creek we're talking
Marion
about?
Marion Creek. It's the hatchery intake.
Yeah. Greg, didn't we have a set of plans for doing something just like that? We were going to work on the that log retention dam.
Yeah, they dewatered that to look at the lining of that, and then there was supposed to be a design, but that never happened.
Oh, okay. Because we thought we had problems with the... The actual water dam there, the collection thing, and it looks like it was going away, and so we were looking at dewatering and repairing and all these stuff, so I thought we had a set of plans already drawn up.
Well, I think they were going to do a set of plans thinking that concrete apron was still behind the logs, but that was gone, so they backfilled it with rock instead of re-putting that in.
Oh, okay.
All right, so Greg, you're going to...
If we can go through engineering or find something that we've already done or seen that we know that works, maybe that'll be the first step. I'll try to get into engineering this week or next week and see if we've got one that we put in somewhere else that works well.
And for Horn Creek, all I'm going to propose is a aluminum stringer panel weir with narrower picket spacing, put into the same location, that's all. Cabled in, no sill or anything like that, just a good weir that'll keep the Chinook out.
All right.
So Marion Creek, is that spring fed or is it?
Yeah, and runoff, so.
It kind of flows you, is it pretty big in the wintertime or is it pretty constant?
It's not as flashy.
Hang on the winter.
Yeah. It's less flashy than a similar size stream like on the coast or something. But
I wonder if there's any like prefab concrete things you could place with a crane or something.
Yeah, I thought about using those ecology blocks with a weir panel in between them, something like that. But I'm a biologist, Matt, not an engineer. That was a Star Trek takeoff. Damn it, Jim. I'm a biologist, not an engineer.
You didn't want to
Don't write
the,
that down.
What did the ecology block mess with your the hydraulics?
Probably. Not really. I mean, the water intake is further upstream than we envision where the weir is going to go.
Any other comments on that item? All right, Greg, we'll follow up and we'll talk about it next month. Next item, there was some missing count data that you were going to send to Andy.
Yep.
You did that?
Okay.
And I guess there was some inquiry about the pedigree funding and the work that's going to be done in terms of the genetic sample.
So Dave Jacobson emailed me yesterday and said that the Corps has explicitly said that they're going to fund both 14 and 15, and he wants me to give him the samples on Friday. So if we get all the biodata together and get Hoagie samples, and did we have your...
I gave yours last meeting.
Hoagie's got some data and samples. He's going to hand those off today or tomorrow, and then if we can get the data cleaned up, and it should be clean, just like your guys', as it seems to be, we've got to figure it out. Everything sort of lines up, and then we can hand it off to the geneticists, and then it's off my hands, and we'll have answers for 14 and 15 in about probably, 3 to 6 months, depends on how much workload they've got at the OC lab.
Cool. Next item, it says Mackerel posted a draft agenda for future fish operations coordination team to the website. I think that was an example agenda. I don't know.
I saw it. It was not detailed enough to really kind of
figure out what's going to happen.
How's this going to shape?
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I think she has a good handle on it in her mind. I have a partial handle on it. Not really sure, but we can talk about that. And then the last action item was you were going to find the formal disposition table and send it to Doug. And I think it's on the web also. Okay. I don't know if it's like...
Did it go on the web?
It did, but I don't know if it was the final.
Remember we had a problem with the flows and we had to scramble in the North San Yam, so it might have been changed at that point. Or no, I know what happened. It was final.
Okay.
But then everything changed.
Yeah.
So we can say whatever we
want. Oh, yeah. You're right.
Here, but then the water doesn't fall, the reservoirs don't fill, and we change everything. So that's the only year that's really happened. But I have no problem at all with that. As soon as that gets done, it's collaborative.
Yeah.
Then we post that on the website.
Okay. All right, that's it for action items. Anyone know if I missed anything? Or if we missed anything? All right, on to updates. Greg, North St. Am, Marion Forks, and Minto.
Marion Forks, we had a busy week last week and the week before, kind of preparing for low flows and trying to get the Marion intake shut down, dealing with low flows and warm temperatures here at Minto. We decided to transfer some of the safe fish out to lower the water needs at Marion Forks. And took some safe fish to Nat Creek and to Lieberg. We'll be able to shut that Marion Creek intake down this week, which will be a major help. We've been pretty much running 24/7 on Marion Creek the last couple weeks. So, anyways, down at Minto, not a whole lot happening. We're still seeing a few summer steelhead trickle in. A few coho coming in. We're going to hold the coho for now. For possible broodstock needs for some tribal eggs. Right now we don't have enough to make it worth it, but hopefully in the next couple weeks we'll see a couple dozen more and possibly take some eggs for the tribes. Other than that, everything's going well.
Are there any juveniles at Minto right now, or what would you...
No, we'll start bringing those down probably after the holiday. We were in the 54, 55 degree water till this last storm. We're just right about 52 this morning. Hopefully it'll drop another couple of degrees. Obviously with the warm water all summer, our fish are a little larger than we'd like them at this point. Marion Forks is still at about 46, 47, so we're starting to catch their water temperatures. We'll probably bring them down the first week of December.
Okay. I didn't hear Brett on the phone.
He's hunting.
Oh, of course. Anything going on?
He has not said anything to me.
Okay.
He's hunting.
Oh, show, what's going on? Any news on that?
That's my...
Chris Boyd, his brother's son-in-law, shot a real nice 5x4.
that was actually pretty good news. No, it's, our attorney is pushing back against Oregon OSHA right now, saying, you know, you don't have authority to do this kind of stuff. And I requested from Tammy a specific statement or documentation that said Foster was still under a construction phase, and so we weren't allowed to do the fixes. Our Oregon OSHA guys are saying that we're guilty because we should have fixed that stuff. Mm. And we're saying we had it already identified for the engineering contract. We weren't allowed to do that. How can you hold us accountable for that? And then they charged us a 20% penalty on top of that for already knowing about it. So our DOJ rep is filing. In fact, he was going to go talk to the OSHA attorney as of Monday. Mm. Say, you know, this is a little contest with the OSHA inspector coming out of Eugene. And see, he's apt to be the one that's going to go up to Minto, too. And we're going to have the same problems at Minto, because actually things were worse at Minto, I think, than they were at Foster, with the exception of those stupid stairways. But that's fixed. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've fixed everything. It's all been tagged out. The Corps has the key to the locks. We should have had full compliance now, but they're still whining and complaining. So long.
Okay.
It's moving along. The Corps is operating quickly. You know, the big stick in the mud is this OSHA inspector in Eugene.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mackenzie, is Kurt on the line?
Supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Came back from hunting.
Yesterday. Yes, I am.
There he is.
He's on mute.
I had to turn up mute. So anyway, so let's see what's going on around here. Well, we're all done with our eggs, spring chinook eggs. We had overall 5.4% shock loss, 2.3% BKD, which was pretty low. But last year we had 0.9, so it doubled, but still real low. We've got 799,000 hide eggs on hand, so we're looking in good shape. You know, for this month, we had a bit of water issues here where EWEB turned off the canal. I don't know if I mentioned that last month. I don't think it had happened yet. They turned off the canal because of low flows in the Mackenzie. They couldn't produce power, so they weren't bringing any water down the canal. The hatchery operated for approximately 2 weeks just on leakage around the gate that they closed, which was approximately 50 to 100 CFS. Our demand was 44 CFS, so we were in good shape, but, you know, every leaf that drops into that canal for a few miles comes to our intake, so that was kind of a bummer. But we just cleaned those off like we normally should. And then they said they weren't going to turn on until the river went to 3,000 CFS and stayed there. Bob told me, the power prices were in the toilet, so they weren't going to produce power. Well, they went up a little bit, so they turned the canal back on last week before it got to 3,000 CFS. I think it was running about 2,300 when they turned it back on, which helped us a lot. Pulled all those leaves away, and having flow in the canal is always a good thing. So the river as of today was, I wrote that down here, where'd I put it? It's up to 5,500 and projected to go a little over 6,000 after tonight's rain. So the river is up and doing well. You know, flows are turning more into a flow fall type situation. So that's pretty good. Cogswell Creek, where our other little intake is gone up to 12 CFS and actually flowed over the dam. So that's the first time since last April, I think, it's flowed over the dam and our diversion dam. So. Yeah, things are looking like water is available all over the place at the moment, which is a good thing. We can we're operating fine. Just like to see that canal back on. I mean, we were fine. They took it down to a certain level that elevation-wise gave us enough head to operate on. But, you know, you don't like to have to operate on that if you get it back to normal. So looking good right now. Over this week, USGS came in and got the last of their Chinook cirrhate fish that they were taking up to Cougar and tagging and releasing and seeing how they were reacting as a wild type fish. So we did about, 600-700 of those fish out in a pond, and they were grabbing them every so often and doing their trials up there at Cougar with them. The Corps came out last week and grabbed 45 fish for similar stuff they're doing up at Cougar, so we may still be supplying them off and on, I'm not sure. But anyway, the USGS has wrapped up their thing, and we'll try to have fish available for the Corps if they need more. Other than that, pretty good. Water muddied up a little bit today for the first time in a long time, so that was unusual. I guess not unusual. It should happen before now. But anyway, water flows, fish, everything is doing well at McKenzie.
Any questions for Kurt?
Yeah.
So I assume that UF notifies you before they do that, right?
Well, yeah, they did. They did when they pulled it down.
Okay.
And gave it, and I, you know, we've got a line that's spray painted on our wing wall of the intake, and they know that that's like the comfort zone. Don't go any farther if you can help it. And they kept it about a foot above that. So, but they have to really adjust things to get that elevation to stay stable. You know, you got 5 miles long of canal. It took a full day for them to get, actually a full day and a little bit more to get it to stabilize. And then during the time that they had it like that, we were fine. It's one of those things you like to see flow and everything back to normal. But they do. They're pretty good communication. Actually, they turned it on, and we noticed that it was back on, and I gave a call up to one of the local guys, and he said, yeah, we should have it back on and producing power for a while. Then I called up the supervisor. Actually, he called me a day later saying, oh, man, I forgot to call you. So anyway, he called me a day later and said, the canal is back on. I said, well, we noticed that, Bob, because it's hard not to notice. But anyway, communication is pretty good with you, but not bad at all.
And then Cogswell Creek, any update on that? In terms of
they're working on it now. I talked to Perry, the engineer that's in charge of that.
Okay.
And he's, you know, I mean, they're moving along, right? So our anticipation is having out to bid soon. And so we'll have the contractors all lined up so we can go to work in March.
Okay.
Yeah, we're looking end of March, early April.
And that's just a mixing box, essentially? Is that what it is? Or?
Well, a mixing box and a bunch of plumbing changes.
Okay.
It's going to connect Carswell Creek into the supply line well above where the ponds are. Right now it's sort of a suction induction system that doesn't work very well. This is going to allow us to mix Cogswell Creek with all the water.
Okay.
And he's got another filter going in his incubator line system that we've got funded. And then, what do you got, asphalt paving too, huh?
I'm sorry, what was that? I had UPS has stepped in.
Asphalt work done too?
Yeah, we've got, they're going to tear things up, so we'll have to do some asphalt work down here near the ponds where they have to access one of the crossover pipelines to, they're going to put a thrust block in there and fill it with concrete so it doesn't flow the way it was built. And they'll still maintain the integrity of separating Cogswell Creek to incubation in the same area. So they got quite a bit of stuff to tear up there. It looks like EWEB usually draws down the canal that last week of March, first couple weeks of April for some of their maintenance work, and also to kind of coincide with the steelhead smolt release from Leeburg. So Perry and I were looking at that time frame to hopefully get this to happen.
So again, tell me the time frame, Ms. Cameron.
About the last week of March, first couple weeks of April.
My interest is in getting some water samples before and after to try and understand whether we can actually get a chemical signal from the water supply to say that this has actually had the effect, the desired effect of mixing Cogswell Creek water and making it accessible to the fish that want to get in there.
Are you working with the folks at OHRC that are going down to Elk River?
No, but I'm working with Mark Johnson, and he's got salmon olfaction and homing experience.
Yeah, we're scheduled to go down and walk through on the 10th of December. Michelle Scanlon, I guess, is the head of that. But I mean, they're looking at well water he's got there. So they're going to be in the business of doing chemical analysis all over water. So,
are you connected with a Seattle researcher? Published the paper in Fisheries on olfaction and homing a couple months ago, and whose name is A. Okay, apparently not.
No, I haven't seen that.
All right.
But the only stuff I was looking at was some stuff down in Japan a couple years ago on the wells.
Yep.
And that's what I've been arguing with the guys at Elk River about.
You said that was...
But was that guy from Seattle? Did he use some of that research at OHRC?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I read that one, yeah.
Can you do a journalist? What's his name? Come on, it's...
But his name.
It don't matter.
It was interesting, though, you know, showing those peak imprinting times right at hatching and then again towards smolts, mm-hmm. and then, you know, they're imprinting all the time, but there were some real peaks that you'd need to focus on.
And journal?
Fisheries.
Fisheries?
a new paradigm in olfaction and homing in Pacific salmonids.
I'm sure Ryan sent that out to everybody.
Yeah.
I've got it without stashed my OHRC folder.
Okay.
Because I remember reading that, because I was talking to a couple of people about trying to get those eggs just as we hatch them and, you know, double up on that stuff. So.
Mm-hmm. All right, anything else on the McKinsey? Moving on to Willamette Dexter. Dan.
Yeah, everything's going pretty good up here. We just transferred a bunch of fish to South St. E.M. This week. And we got rid of some of our smolts. And then he'll acclimate those for the next few months, and then we'll send him another batch in February. Dexter, we released our November group at the beginning of the month and backfilled him with the other Chinook that we had up here on station. Disease issues are starting to calm down finally at Dexter. I think we treated 4 or 5 times this year, about 2.5 months earlier than we normally have to treat. But we looks like we made it through. The water temperatures are starting to drop finally. But we are going to be, you know, we took a pretty big hit, so we're going to be short on numbers down there at release. Other than that, we're getting ready, trying to get everything winterized. And like Kurt, we got muddy water up here this morning, too, so rained pretty good last night.
Going to rain tonight, too.
Hey, Dan, it's Doug. Have you guys, or maybe John, heard about potentially prophylactically treating next year if we have another drought here?
Can't do that.
Can't do it.
Nope, you cannot order the feed until they've actually broke and you know what medication level you need to do. So it has to be size of fish, pounds of fish, that sort of stuff. So it is illegal for us to order it prior to needing it.
The best he can do is what he did this year.
Yeah.
He mixes it on station until they can finally get the medicated feed order. So.
Interesting. Well, we talked to Tim a lot this year. He was definitely, it was tough.
Yeah, it was terrible. And, it's, but yeah, that's the best we can do is just have the medication on hand ourselves. And then, we just take a cement mixer and mix it up that way and feed it until we get the meds.
Any other questions?
Yeah, Dan, the fish that go to Santiam, do you get a size sample of those fish before they're delivered? Like a Form C kind of size sample so you can look at size distribution, or you just get a weight and count?
We just do a weight, and then we do leak frequencies when they're released.
Right. I'm puzzling.
We don't do anything on transfer. I mean, everything's large this year. With as warm as the winter was last year and then just trying to keep them healthy, we had to feed them more than we would normally have to feed them. And so normally we send those fish over now at about 13 or 14 fish to the pound, and they went over at 10.5.
Wow.
So And we did see a lot more precocious males already this year, and we're seeing it at Dexter, we're seeing it in our Willamette groups. I'm assuming it's just because they're larger for the time of the year, but
they had it in their November release at South San Diego too. So
yeah, and I, you know, I'm sure it has something to do with water temperature and just happened to. I mean, it's one of those fine lines of the fish culture. You're trying to keep them healthy, but not get them so big that you ruin your target size at release. But it's a tough one.
Any other Willamette questions? Dexter? Last update, fish counts.
So Bennett is still operating, getting a few fish, coho. Those fall chinook I mentioned at the last meeting that aren't necessarily fall chinook because they have adipose clips. So an adipose clipped fish coming back in late October to the North San Yam River. What is it? Doesn't look like a fall chinook. It's got an adipose clip.
It's a stray.
It's 30 fish a week.
Huh.
Lower Bennett was taken offline a little bit, a couple of days just because of high flows, but it's back on right now. There's a very interesting habitat rehabilitation project going in place near the Bennett's. I don't know exactly where, and I haven't toured it myself, but Bart DeBoe toured it and sent some pictures along. Pretty neat. Anybody heard about it, Greg?
Nope, haven't heard.
So it's about a mile and a half of side channel habitat that's just been basically a leaky slough. And apparently the landowner got some funding from OWEB or something to open it up, add a big squash culvert, get the channel, you know, re-expose it to flows from the channel. Sounds like a good idea. A mile and a half.
Below the Bennett's?
It's near the Bennett's, and I don't know if it's just above.
That's all gravel quarry areas down there.
See, I don't know if it's above or below.
Yeah. Because I could see that working in the old Morse Brothers areas.
Did they seal off that upper channel that they were talking about?
They opened it up, as I understand it. Bart sent a picture. I'll forward it to you when I get back. He sent a picture of a great big culvert under a new roadbed that looks like it's opening the upper end of the slough to the main channel.
I know City of Salem wanted to close that new channel from a couple of years ago to get more water to their intake, but I don't know if Ann ever approved that or not.
I don't either. I think it's a separate project. It's habitat rehabilitation, creating side channel habitat for.
Yeah, this one's taking one away. So
yeah.
You'll send the picture out.
I will send the picture out.
Cool.
It's a muddy slough with a brand new gravel road and a culvert. So it's not picturesque. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
Liebrig's still going on. We're not taking fish out or anything like that, but things have slowed down. Nothing else really to report. Small numbers of fish moving.
Cam, do you want us to grab samples if we start seeing those, whatever those steelhead are that show up about this time?
I do.
Okay.
What are you referring to?
There's a group of steelhead that appear to be swinters, I think. We're not sure. We don't know. They come back looking weird with weird run timing and intact adipose fins. So what is it?
Yeah, there's one in the trap and it's beautiful.
So what is it?
Do they have size and color? I mean, what are they?
They look like a chrome bright winner. I mean,
wow.
Full fins, full adipose, generally 12 plus pounds, just beautiful fish.
Wow.
I don't know if they're old Big Creek stock or a splinter or I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, any other questions? All right, the next item I had on here was the Willamette Fish Operations Plan. For those of you that don't know, it was a BIOP requirement for the Corps to put together a plan. It gets various levels of use. I use it more for referencing maintenance periods. However, it also has maintenance periods for fish facilities in there that were determined and coordinated with folks like Greg and Brett at the new fish facilities. But there's also some trap and haul and handling information in there that some was developed by the state, some may have been developed by the Corps. It's kind of a mixture. So this plan is currently in internal review that will get updated on an annual basis. It'll go out to the region and other stakeholders early December. You'll get over a month to review, since the holidays are kind of right in the middle of that. So we'll be receiving that soon. Dan, I don't know if have you guys taken a look at that at all, Chad?
I think I've seen some of the older versions of it.
Yeah, we help pen the old versions on our side.
Well, isn't it on the website now?
It is.
Yeah, okay.
It is.
That's the 2014.
I'm trying to make it more user-friendly.
Okay.
So the version I send out will have my track changes. I'm trying to remove any sort of background that just gets in the way of the important information in terms of how we need to operate or how we think we should operate. And the process is ongoing, so hopefully it'll get better.
Obviously, it's going to change when Fall Creek is built.
Exactly.
Such of those kind of things, yeah.
And there's certain things that we did this year that aren't in there just because it was a unique year.
Yes.
So I guess in future years, we'll just document what we did, kind of what we did.
Yeah, that, do you think we'll go to do and break it down and do like a threshold thing again, like we do with Flow, where we have sufficiency years, you know, based on...
Oh, yeah, we'll do that every year, and actually that part, piece of the puzzle currently isn't in the plan,
yeah.
But I put it in this more recent version that I'm working on right now. So when it goes out, it'll have that whole process in regards to looking at how much storage we have on hand, is our year sufficient, deficient, whatever the category is, and that kind of dictates how we manage the reservoir system throughout the year, this year being the lowest category possible. So I don't know if there's any questions about the plan at all.
Are you the principal author?
I am now.
Yeah. You're the holder.
I inherited it. A lot of different people worked on it. It was kind of hard to form it or shape it in a way that I thought was more user-friendly. So I'm slowly but surely getting there in terms of getting rid of info that I don't think... It's good information, but...
What's the suspense on that?
So the internal is Friday.
Oh.
Yeah. For you guys, look at the trap and haul and handling stuff, and then also look at the maintenance periods for turbine outages.
Okay.
Because that's where we get a lot of flack, is when we take turbines offline during sensitive periods of the year where we don't want to be gassing fish.
Unplanned or planned?
Planned outages.
Planned,
yes.
Outages. Planned. Obviously, unplanned.
And then when it goes out to this group, obviously, for ODF&W, it'd be good for them to look at the trap information and the handling information to make sure it reflects what we're actually doing. Whether we use it or not, it's good to just have it documented. Any other questions on that?
I haven't received a single, in my memory, flawed, a single data request for the WFOP that I recall. Like, and I'm happy to help if there's holes in there or if you are drawing from other documents and need comments, let me know.
So when I first inherited it, I worked with Tom a little bit.
Okay.
It was pretty much done. It was just more making it useful from my perspective, so that you could actually find the information that you're looking for in the table of contents or whatever. So, yeah, if I need anything, I'll let you know.
Yeah, do that. Everybody else does. Yeah.
All right, the next item. Transitioning to Wolf Palm, the Willamette Fish Passage and Operations Management Team. Tammy, I believe, was at the last meeting.
She called in. Yeah.
She did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure exactly what was discussed or what information was presented. Were you here? So I guess I'll start out with trying to address any sort of questions that you might have, or maybe someone could talk a little bit about what their understanding of what we're planning on doing.
So my understanding was that it's effectively a combination of the hatchery management team and the water
flow management
team. But not the fish passage team. The
right.
fish passage team would be drawn in as either of those two main entities need information about fish passage, but they were not actively part of it, or won't actively be part of the group routinely. My concerns I put forward when it was first mentioned is if the group gets too big, it becomes unwieldy and unproductive.
Yep.
and is it going to get too big, unwieldy, and unproductive?
I don't think so. But having not worked on the Columbia and gone to too many of those meetings, I'm not sure. I do know that it's a good way or a conduit to funnel the various actions that are going on in coordinating these things so that everyone's on the same page. I was talking a little bit earlier to Doug and Chad about how a lot of times we do well coordinating things on the Willamette, I feel. It's just kind of all over the place, and certain people might be in the loop and certain people might not be in the loop. Example being some of the Harmony that we do where there might be a study that we need a certain operation. They coordinate with our water management folks, but maybe operations is out of that communication loop, so it'll solve certain things like that. Another example might be where this year where we had potentially low flows impacting the Minto Fish facility, Greg maybe not knowing where he should coordinate, whether it's at the flow management team, hatchery management team, and then you have these redundant conversations going on, which can cause confusion. So I think it'll solve things like that. In terms of it getting too big, I think the solution which they employ on the Columbia is creating what are called task groups. Mm-hmm. So essentially, hatchery management team, depending on what we decide to do, will continue how it is now. I mean, it could. I don't know if it's going to or not. Mm-hmm. As a task group, I know that Andy's going to be kind of leading that effort. Mm-hmm. So potentially that could be preserved while you still have this conduit for coordination. The problem or an issue that we'll have to work through is not creating additional work or additional meetings for folks, as we all go to way too many meetings, or a lot of us do anyway.
So we would be looking at CORE, ODFW, and NOAA?
Correct.
And that would be the limit of the agency membership on that?
It would include OWRD as well.
Okay.
DEQ, somewhat. I mean,
Columbia has so many players in it. And mm-hmm. It's like over PAC meetings, and it's a million different little countries fighting and battling. I think this is just because it looks like it isn't going to be a screw up.
Yeah, and really, it's more of a coordination body. It's not like Hatchery management team, we do a lot of different things. We coordinate, we talk about research and monitoring that's going on. We try to solve problems that we foresee or figure out the best way to manage the hatcheries that we have. So I think that'll be maintained in this task group, whereas this other team is more funneling all this coordination in regards to how we actually operate the dams themselves or a fish facility or whatever the case may be, so that we're all in the same loop, the information's all in one place, we know who to talk to, and various team members from an agency are speaking or sending the same message, basically. Sometimes we don't always send the same message, but I think it should help out with that.
Will that body be able to make decisions, or will have to carry those back to some higher power?
I hope they can. I think we've done well within HMT itself, and I feel myself and others have done well with the current flow management team in terms of making decisions. It's a rarity that we can't make a decision and come to an agreement, is what I've found. I mean, it's happened in flow management, but it gets resolved fairly quickly, as we have to a lot of times.
So. What are you thinking for set kickoff?
So Tammy's hoping to kick it off in January, knowing that there probably will be some bumps, and that also realizing that we can adjust if needed, or I don't know, who knows what's going to happen in terms of the future. I mean, if it goes well, maybe we'll plow forward. If it doesn't, we might have to take a step back and look at, okay, what's working and what's needed and what's redundant and not needed.
Yeah, sticking with the agenda kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Stick with it.
And, keeping it technical.
I know ops, the engineer, shops, side of the house would really appreciate that. Okay. Absolutely. We hear that all the time. Like, you know, you need us to do what kind of thing.
Yeah. So hopefully it'll tie everything together a little bit better. I know that in the short time I've been with the Corps, last few years, that I'd have the conversation at Hatchery Management Team and then go to Fish Passage Team and have a similar conversation there, and then have a similar conversation at Flow Management, and it was a little bit confusing at times. And I didn't want to have to go to all those meetings, all three of those, just to coordinate things.
You need to shrink, eventually.
So I focused on a Hatchery Management Team and Flow, and kind of let Fish Passage Team do their thing, and we had reps on there, so we just try to talk and communicate frequently. Any other questions or thoughts on that? Concerns?
No, they haven't already laid out. I'm going to see how it plays out. That's okay. All. Okay. That's all we can do.
It will be, I mean, depending on who decides to participate, potentially it could be a fairly large group, so. I know FPOM, the few meetings that I have been to, are pretty large. Yeah. And they seem to do okay, I guess.
People have to be disciplined, and it's good to have some kind of facilitation.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Okay.
In-house or out-of-house?
All around. All sides of the aisle. All right.
Anyway, that's all I had for today. I don't know if there's anything that we need to talk about before we reconvene.
Let's find out what we're doing about John's imminent departure.
Ooh, yeah. Who's
what do we do?
Who's the interim?
Who should we bring into the loop now?
No kidding.
Ooh. Add them to the list so that they see the notes of what we talked about.
You got
me. Can he do it? Can he?
Yeah, but do you need a seasoned person or somebody you can mold?
An empty bucket is what you need. You need an empty bucket.
We'll hire somebody on.
In 6 months.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. What are we going to do? If you're gone in a month, and there's lots of stuff on the table, it's very useful to make sure that that stuff gets put on somebody else's desk. Because if it doesn't happen. It doesn't get done.
Yes, he used to be able to shove that back to propagation.
Yeah.
But they gutted it last year, and so there's nobody left up there. Scott's pretty aware of what's going on most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, that was when I was the assistant there. That was dumped on down to me, and so when I rolled over into this Willamette hatcheries, wasn't anything new. I was already doing already, so it's but nobody else is doing my job.
Yeah. Why don't you pick somebody? I volunteered Greg Grimbemmer because I think he hung up.
he's you know he
thanks
him. Damn. Anyway, no, seriously, we do have to find a way to make a transition. There's lots of instances in the last several years where things were going along swimmingly, and then somebody moved off into a different job, and the transition didn't happen as smoothly as it could have.
And it's so preventable.
It is. Just
yeah, if you can coerce Greg to do it, he's screwed up enough stuff over the last 2 or 3 years, and he's really intimately aware of what's going on.
I can't figure out if you love me or hate me.
Well... in all seriousness, this group works better if we have smooth transitions.
Yeah, whoever's been in the middle of it, it's
and that's your job. You have to pass the torch to somebody that you trust.
We call this a hot potato.
Yeah. Okay. Some people call it something else.
That's
So none of us are going to answer our phone for the day.
Yeah. Well, you don't answer your phone anyway.
Or the hatchery manager's immune.
it's actually concerning if we can work it out for Greg to sit on this board, that would be the slickest thing, not the least of which he's geographically located closest to what we're doing here.
You said you had an opening at what, Elk River?
Yes, but it's a demotion.
I'm there.
I'll consider it.
So, we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, it depends on, what the call is within the agency.
Is that Scott's call? Whose call is that?
Probably.
Okay.
Or the regents. Steve Marks is He's more intimately involved in what we do with the core projects than, mm-hmm. than any other thing within the region. You know, he's right in the middle of all the stuff we do here. Whereas, probably because that's where his history came from, as mm-hmm. the watershed mm-hmm. manager. But, you know, generally it would be something that would be discussed.
Okay.
Seaborn said he'd like to do it as a job rotation.
Hmm, really?
Yeah.
Good, he's the one that keeps trying to shut the side of the state down.
Yes.
So that'd be fun. Okay.
But, yeah, it's not sure. We've been looking at this for several months. I've known for the last 8 months that this end of life was coming.
End of life.
Yeah.
Beginning of.
If I go on a hospice in another month, don't have to get up anymore.
All right.
So,
well, I had on their December meeting. I don't know if it's going to go on. Is it December
16th?
I assume. Is that the third Wednesday?
Second or third. The next one's the 23rd, which I think is a
bad
day.
That's not a good day. I guess that'll be the day. But I'll talk to Andy. He'll send something out.
Oh, look, that may be the date that's already scheduled.
Okay.
You know, when we sent those things out in the past.
Okay.
Cool.
And we got the phone situation figured out.
I will add Scott to the whole automated Outlook calendar thing, and so we'll get him on.
Okay.
December 16th is the third Wednesday.
Okay. All right, any final thoughts from the group? We're on the phone. All right, I like quick meetings. See you guys.
Thanks, everybody.
See you.
Bye. Thanks, bye.
Do you know, Andy's probably the only one involved in this, but do you know if the Corps is ready to make the mods at Minto to make it DEQ compliant?
Oh, geez. So refresh my memory a little bit.
Well, we can't discharge spawning waste, not solids.
Oh, yeah.
But we've already got a tank that we collect anesthetic in that we're in trouble because we've been putting on what the Corps called a bioswale, which is a rock field. Doesn't work. The solution to that is we just pump it out and have it disposed someplace else, like across the river, across the road. But there could be a way to take that same drain off the spawning deck area.
Okay.
And we'd have to, you know, contain the water so it went into the drain, but we can cut some pipes and run that drain into that same vault. The other thing would put another vault in, which would be I think would be really difficult. But it's some cutting of some pipe and adjusting things.
So can you remind me where we got hung up on that? Like, did we get in trouble from somebody saying?
Well, the DEQ inspection that we had here, I think it was 2 months ago.
Okay.
That we're discussing, and you know, the question is, and of course, it comes to your construction folks turned Minto over to operations.
Yeah.
And the operations folks thought that ODFW had also accepted Minto, but we refused to accept Minto because we know from the get-go that we're violating DEQ regulations. We knew that in the design phase back in, I think, 2010. I got some emails from Chris Badai that say, yeah, we're going to make these changes. And then we went and constructed the facility, we didn't do it. He says, well, it's okay to put it to the abatement pump. Well, okay. It's not. And that's what the DEQ inspector says. That'll be a citation.
Okay.
And until we get that done, you know, we're going to move fish down there. We'll still be breaking the law because we can't even operate under the construction permit. He reminded us again, that was a mistake. DEQ was an error allowing us to do that.
Well, there's...
So we got to have a real permit.
We have a real permit. They just screwed up, right?
Well, you have a permit...
For construction.
That you can have water through there while you're under construction, but it doesn't say you can raise fish in it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. But they had told us it was okay. Then they came back and said, well, we made a mistake.
Oh, okay.
And that's where we are. But that'll be fixed. We didn't talk about that in the reporting on that thing.
Okay.
But long range, for us to be able to accept Minto, which would then allow us to put Minto under the Marion Forks permit, which is the only way we can get a permit because there's no new permits down below, we have to fix that vault so that we're not violating.
Okay.
Because you're immediately violating as soon as you put one little drop of blood in the river. But the fix is to plumb the drain line back into the holding vault that we've been pumping anesthetic out to a bioswale. We'll just collect it, load it on a truck, and haul it away.
So we can throw dead fish in the river, just not, we can't spawn fish?
Yeah, you really can't get that deep into it otherwise. It makes no sense at all.
You know, Latif and I went around and around with DEQ, this must have been 6 or 8 years ago, over and over. And it's just, you know, we've got all these permits for stream enrichment. The food processing plants in Astoria can pump sludge into the Columbia, but we can't wash bloodied hands in the river.
Can we call it stream enrichment?
No, I mean they've already made a decision on this.
Okay. Does it include the waste, the waste products from the fish?
No, it's just the spawning.
It's just the spawning waste. It's not just, you know, not skeins and eggs and body parts. It's blood, ovarian fluids, slime. It's stupid, extremely stupid. But
okay,
I mean they're standing their ground on that one. I don't know why.
Talk to Andy about that one.
Okay.
Because I just don't know.
Well, he and I have been talking. I just wasn't sure if it was to come up.
Yeah, all I know are there's a contract out there for some work, but also we have a small projects team that's doing some work, and I don't know the exact scope or the schedule of what they're doing.
Yeah, it's going to require somebody to go in and cut some pipes and change some things in there.
Okay.
Cool.
Anything else? All right, see you guys in December. Have a happy Thanksgiving next week.
Thank you. All right. Who's involved in the manager's forum or anything?
Not me.
Yeah.
That's like...
Thank you for doing this. You're doing
that super awesome. Bruce McIntosh?
Thanks.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Bruce McIntosh, Kevin Bryce from our shop.
Ian Shane might be involved.
It's great to have a detail like that.
We'll see you at the fish
hole. Yeah. I may see you down.